to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose. I'm your host, Edna White, your life purpose coach and author, and this is the podcast for all around women where we challenge your everyday thinking and limiting beliefs around life, relationships, and of course your business to help you live your life purposefully. I am totally excited today on the show to have Dr. Joe, the psychologist, holistic wellness coach, yoga, meditation, and mindfulness teacher. She is the owner and the CEO of Tula Soul. Welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose.
Thank you so much, Edna. It's a pleasure to be here. I love any opportunity to talk with women. My passion is working with women. And my mission of Tula Soul is to help women find balance, boldly use their voice, and proudly take up space.
Oh, that's nice. And I say confidently take up space. That's really great. So we're already on the same level, sinking in. I love it.
Yes, we are.
Just love it. So tell us about your business. Tell us about why you showed up in this world the way you are right now.
Good question. From the age of 12, I decided I was going to be a psychologist.
Okay.
Because I was fascinated with the human psyche, and I decided I wanted to be able to help people. So I went directly through grad school, and I worked at the University of Minnesota and did some research. And then I had a private practice for 13 years. Which I loved, and I specialized in trauma. And then COVID happened, and I decided to take a break, and I did a lot of training with yoga and meditation and also some coaching certification. So I decided I wanted to work exclusively with women, and I kind of transitioned into that role.
Okay. Okay.
And Tula, by the way, means balance in Sanskrit, wind in Finnish, and poem in the Philippines.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh, that's nice. I like that. I knew it meant something, but that's really, really, you know, that's really, that's really serious. So tell us how the wind fits in, since you said wind, right? You said wind.
Yes.
How does the wind fit in?
At first, I only knew about the Sanskrit meaning of balance.
Right.
But I was doing a yoga training, and somebody's daughter was named Tula.
Okay.
And I said, oh, is that because of balance? And she said, no, I'm Finnish, and it means wind. And that really appealed to me because at a difficult time in my life, I remember I was looking out the window and just feeling desperate, and I focused on the sound of the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought came to me, I'll always have the wind.
Right.
So it was a very soothing, I've always loved the wind.
Yeah.
So that was a very soothing thought. And then I'm a poet, I write poetry. So when I found out that it was a poem in the Philippines, I was like, oh, this doesn't get any better.
No, doesn't get any better. That's really great. You know, it's totally universally inspired then. You know that it kind of connects to everything that you are as well as the earth is. So that's really beautiful. That's great.
Thank you.
So tell us about a client that really touched your heart. Is there one specifically one that kind of touched your heart that made you say, I gotta keep doing this. I gotta keep doing this.
Oh boy, so many. You know, there's a woman that I worked with who was homeless, and she, such a beautiful soul, but just broken down by so many different trauma experiences. And you know, my mentor says that there's no trauma, or no, there's no mental illness, there's just trauma.
Oh, sure. Believe that every
And I
day.
love that.
I believe that.
So this woman, I saw her many, many years, and she was in and out of treatment, and we would find her some shelter and some housing, but then she would relapse and kind of go back. Ultimately, what I really appreciated about her is that when she was sober, she was so giving. She would volunteer at the homeless shelters. She would, you know, she was just so helpful to so many other people who suffered. And I think that people who do struggle and suffer are often the most generous and compassionate people there are. And in the end, you know, she ended up getting the right medication and did sober up, and she's now has her kids back,
Oh, wonderful.
which was a real struggle. You know, there's a lot of issues with the social system,
Oh, yeah.
and that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was a long journey, and it was so rewarding. So that's one client of many that comes to mind.
That's I work with the homeless, and I
Yeah.
often say that I work with doctors who've lost their jobs and their families,
Yeah.
and nurses, lawyers, accountants, and I say this all the time. It could just be you, because one day this could be you, because it. We all experience trauma, and we experience it differently. So where, let's just say, I'm just being just arbitrarily, a pin drops in the floor, it could disturb me, but not disturb you. But we have to always be sensitive to trauma affects everyone
That's
differently.
right.
And we
That's
can
right.
be that person. And it's not really like mental illness, because I see, like we were talking about the system. The system automatically says, okay, if you can't get off of an alcohol, there's got to be a mental problem. If you can't do this, it's got to be a mental problem. And they always put you in that mental category, but instead of not, what is your real problem? And I think that's what
Yeah.
you really honed in with that client of yours. It's like, okay, what is really going on? And losing your family is traumatic.
Yes,
Losing your
very
family is
much so.
traumatic, and then the system is not kind to you. It's
No.
not set up for like that. And Dr. Phil says, you want to be able to solve a problem amongst yourselves. So you don't ever want the system to be involved, because when they're involved, and it takes a lot to gain momentum. So thank you
Right, it
for
often
that.
causes more trouble.
It does. It really does. It's trouble. That is, it's not. Solving any problems is more trouble. I like that. Thank you for
Yeah.
that. Okay, so tell us,
Of
like,
course.
in your field, and you're a psychologist, and I know that you decided this at 12, which is amazing. And I say, I always I wanted to, my mother asked me when I was 12. I said, all I know is anything that I want to do, I want to have fun doing it. I don't want to
Yes.
act like it's a drudgery. I get into confrontation. I want to have fun doing. I want to work like I'm on vacation.
That's perfect. Yes, I love that.
So that's what I believed when my mother said, "Well, you're going to be something great," because I don't know too many people who work on vacation.
Yes,
So I
I know,
said,
and that's how I feel too.
"Yeah."
Yeah.
It's in your heart, the things that we don't lose, like the fun, the creativity. You can just tell when people are really satisfied with what they're doing. When this entrepreneurial bug bit you and you were going full force, what did you pull from when you felt really like down, like I don't know if I could go any longer? What did you pull into inside of yourself?
Yes, that's a good question too. I think what happened is when I went into private practice as a psychologist, I had just experienced some really terrible fraud at a clinic that I worked for two women, and they ended up having to go through this attorney general. I had to be a witness. And so I was taken advantage of to a great degree. And I came to the point where I was like, I know what I'm doing. I can do this on my own. And of course, at first it was hard to get clients, but I just believed in myself. I think a lot of my inspiration was my mother.
Mm-hmm.
She was always, you know, continuing her education. She started as a special needs teacher, and then she continued her education, ultimately becoming a principal of middle school. And becoming an amazing principal who really turned a school around.
Mm-hmm.
So I always admired that drive for education, and I think that's what kind of kept me going and really believing in myself.
Right.
And so I knew when I was 12, okay, I'm going to be a psychologist. I never doubted that.
Right.
I applied to one college, one graduate school. I just kind of knew where I was going.
Right.
And that confidence comes from a very real belief in my genuine compassion and curiosity and love for people. And real desire to help.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when I decided to do the coaching, I knew that I had the gift to share, and I just figured that I could easily kind of transform my business into the Tool of Soul.
Right.
And incorporate the mind, body, spirit
into that. Yeah. Into that. So into all of that, because you answered one of the questions I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
What one part of it do you want to debunk? You know, a lot of people want to go into psychology. A lot of women. We're talking to women today. Audience, we're talking to women.
Yes.
So what would you like to debunk about getting into this field?
You know, one thing I would like to say is that we really need more women of color.
Okay.
And to go into this field, because I work with a lot of BIPOC individuals, and I have great experience, and I really, really love working with them. However, I know that I am a privileged white woman.
Right.
And I think a lot of people feel much more comfortable, you know, let's say as a black woman, seeing a black psychologist.
Right.
And I get that. And I think that there is just a real lack of providers in that area. So I want to just shout out and say, you know, anybody who's BIPOC and interested in this field, please, please keep going, because we really need you.
Yeah, I agree totally, wholeheartedly. As I got older, I knew the need for that, because you feel comfortable with those that you resemble. You really do. You feel
yes.
much more comfortable. And I remember going to this one doctor, and I was telling them, you know, my history, and uh-huh. she was totally ignoring me. She was writing, you know, looking down, writing. And I'm saying, historically, I said, you know, I think that what's going on with me is hereditary. And she's still looking down. She's still looking down, and she's writing something else, and then she's looking over. So I know that she wasn't paying me attention. Then she goes, you know, no, she told me to stand up, and she kind of looked at me. She goes, oh, go with her, and she'll do such and such to you, you know, and I'm saying, but did you hear me?
No.
So I immediately got up, like, really upset. I'm like, I felt like I was on a assembly line. Okay, you know, plop
right.
the cake down and frost it, put no matter what the frosting they want, put it on. You know, I felt like that. And
it's so dismissive.
It is. It really is.
I feel like, you know, it's my responsibility to educate myself. And I've done a lot of training. I did a ally workshop with Humanize My Hoodie. I volunteer for them. It's my responsibility to do that work and to have the experience. But I also know that I can be, you know, upfront with people and say, hey, you know, if you'd feel more comfortable working with a black individual, I'm okay with that. You know, you tell me.
Right.
And to say, you know, if there's something I don't understand, please tell me. I'm not going to be offended. You know, because I just think it's better, because I was teaching, you know, some black women a certain class, and I just said right up front, hey, I'm white, I'm privileged. I honor that, and I honor your experience. You know what I mean? Rather than not talking about it,
Absolutely, and
I
it's
think we're
total
so awkward
respect.
about it.
It's totally respect. It's totally respect, and I think we could respect that. I've been going through an experience with where I work, and they don't understand the black experience, and here I am trying to explain what another black individual, African American individual would answer to your question. And it doesn't seem to. How do you translate that, since we're talking about that? How do you, as a, as you said, privileged white woman, translate, how do you get that in place within yourself and then be able to actually make it resound with the person that you're talking to? That's important.
Yeah, so like, how do I translate a message from a black person or
Just from like
given?
just saying to them, when you see the uneasiness, you kind of pick it up. How do you now translate that and say, if you're not comfortable, how does that happen? How does that even take place?
Yeah, so for example, I worked with a woman from Ethiopia, and she had, some language barriers too. But I just said, in the first session, I said, there's a lot of cultural differences and ethnic differences, and I am honoring your experience being from a different country. And I want to honor that I am a privileged white woman, and so we have very different experiences. And I want you to know that, and of course, there weren't other providers available. Because I was taking the state insurance, and I said, I really, really want to work with you, and I look forward to it, and I think I can be, helpful for you. But I want you to know that you have every right, and I'm giving you permission to correct me, to let me know about things that go on, in your country, things that I may not know about. And, that kind of conversation, but I also know what was going on in her country, in terms of the wars, and I worked with somebody from Eritrea. So there's that. But in terms of Black Americans, I kind of am just really upfront about it, like, hey, I know what I know, and I'm educated, but I don't know your experience. And I really strongly believe in epigenetics and post-traumatic slavery syndrome. So I want to let them know that I believe there is generational trauma. And I'm not going to ignore that. I'm not going to ignore that racism exists today and it's prevalent, and that if you have black skin, you are going to be treated differently every day.
Every day.
I don't pretend that it doesn't exist because I know a lot of white people do.
And it's
And I don't play
hurtful.
that game.
It's very hurtful.
Yes.
I often talk about being the only black person in the room. It's very
I'm sure that's horrible.
very heavy. And
Yes.
year in and year out, it's very heavy. And of course, when you want to take time off and get some mental health, all of a sudden you're mentally ill. You can't handle this job. You can't handle this. But there's so many components when you have, your own generational things and then intergenerational things, and then you
Yes.
now you form some habits from the patterns that you've seen. Now you're like, oh boy, like it's overwhelming. And then to have the societal things going on, and and it's not, I'm not trying to dismiss everyone that has those things, has like those biases, but what I'm saying is they don't know that they're doing it, but you do.
Right.
As a black or African American, as
Yes.
a as an Indian person, as anyone that's different than the white sector, you feel it. It's just there. It's just
Yeah,
and
those microaggressions.
it's that's it. That's what it is. The microaggressions can be very powerful and overwhelming. So it brings you to a place that you stop talking. You stop talking,
Yes.
stop being involved, you stop caring, it's like you're hopeless and you don't grow. And I'm thank you for
Yeah.
that, bringing that up, because that's really a really, really hot topic, which I think I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
And it's
have you
really
there.
important to me, and I want to open the door for people to talk about that and to be able to talk to me about that. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, that's okay. I think I'm gonna have a show about this because I think this is very important from the view of everyone in the room. The view of
Yes.
everyone in the room. I like that. So I think that
And
that's what I'm gonna do.
I'm sorry,
Go
if I
ahead.
can recommend a book for everyone,
Sure.
it's called My Grandmother's Hands by Reshma
Yes.
Menakem.
Yep.
That book is mind-blowing, and it's really helpful because it talks about how white body, black body, and police body respond to trauma, and it actually has practices for healing, like body practices.
Right.
I've been in two book studies with that, and it's just really
Oh
transformational, so
yeah.
I really
Oh yeah.
recommend everybody reads it.
Oh yeah. I've read that. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. So that's a great subject. We could get on to this all day, but now we're on. This is so great for the audience and I to get to know all about your business and your views. And now this turns the tables to know more about you personally. So this is our second half. So I'm going to ask you questions about you now.
Sure.
I like the
Happy to
attitude
talk
for
about
sure.
myself.
That's great. That's great. So, who was you? I know you said that your mother was the most important person in your life. Is that
Yes.
okay? Elaborate on that.
Well, my mom basically raised myself and my two sisters. I have one who's 13 months older and one who's 2 years younger.
Okay.
My father was at home, but depressed alcoholic, so he wasn't very present.
Right.
So my mom was able to kind of raise us, and she worked, three jobs sometimes. She would be a teacher and waitress and then work at a store. Or she would, and she was just this amazing woman that kept it all together, sort of taking care of everybody. And, we've had a lot of issues between my sisters and I.
Right.
And my mom has always been there for everyone. So she's an incredibly strong woman and also has that caretaking ability.
Right.
And I think that I'm kind of like her mother, who I've never met. Her mother died when she was like 55 from a heart attack. But what I've heard about her is that she's left-handed and that she's really spunky and that she loves baseball. And, all these things that, and I've actually, when I meditate, I have seen her face.
Oh
And I've
wow.
never even seen a picture of her.
Oh wow.
So I think she's my angel.
Yes,
And
that's right.
yeah, so it's really cool. But I think when I think about her, sometimes I get really emotional because, sorry,
That's
she
okay.
worked on a farm growing up and then they lost the farm and she worked in a hotel restaurant and she worked 7 days a week. Every day, all day. She never, her only time off was one day she went down to the Twin Cities. They lived up north to go to a baseball game.
Right.
And so this woman worked so hard, and I think about how fortunate I am to not have to live that life.
Right.
And so I, when I have seen my grandma, I say, thank you.
Yep,
Thank you.
every day, yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
And thank you for raising my mom, to be who she is.
That's important. When I finally met my grandma and I was like 27, got a chance to go down and see her. And she was this hard-working, short, maybe 5 feet. And
Yeah, so was my grandma. She was
she
very short, yeah.
5 feet, you could see the strength in her body, just a strength in her. And, she's from Haiti. And
Cool.
very, very strong. And here's my grandpa who always worked in the railroad with the railroad, so he was never home.
Yeah.
And so I was always thinking, how do you get all these kids and never home?
I
But
know.
when they stop in, that's what happens. And I used to always, she had this, this little house that she had in Alabama with a little creek running through it, which they bought themselves. She had cows, horses, goats,
Oh, wow.
and farm on all her own, and she would tend to it. She would take care of it.
Yeah.
She never wanted for nothing, and she didn't even
Yeah.
want electricity. This is how she was. Didn't want a phone, but no, you can come down and see
Wow.
about me. She didn't want a phone or anything, but they, as she got
Isn't that
older,
interesting?
she wanted, they made her get a phone. So I always say that when I go there and I sit there and she goes, "You're not gonna say anything?" And, she said, because my nickname was Honey. She said, "Honey, you're not gonna say anything?" I said, "Just looking at you is enough for me. Just looking at you."
Oh.
And she would always well up and just, "Oh, just get out of here, not get trying to get
Oh.
sentimental, just get out of here." And I would always just go there just to look at her. She said, "What do you want today?"
That's
Just to look
beautiful.
at you, and I'm so thankful to be able to know my roots.
Yes.
I tell all the children, I even tell my children, tell your children about your roots, talk about the stories, share
Yes.
the
Yes.
stories, tell them where they're from. If they can be from
Yes.
seven different nationalities, tell the stories. And that's what's important, is to tell the stories. And that's what you're here to bring back the stories, to bring back the truth. Psychology's all about bringing back the truth. Your
I
truth.
so agree with that. And I tell my clients, do you know that your parents existed before you were born?
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're like, what?
Right.
Because we don't think about that. And we don't think about, because we're very self-centered, the ego.
Oh, yeah.
But when we dig and talk to our parents about their childhood, it becomes very interesting. And first of all, we can understand them better. And
Right.
we hear about their childhood, and it makes sense because patterns repeat.
Yes.
It's repetition compulsion. So if you grow up with a parent who's an alcoholic, you're subconsciously you're going to attract an addict
Absolutely.
because you're trying to correct the
Absolutely.
pattern that you grew up with. Of
Absolutely.
course you can't, but until you become aware of that, you're going to
You're
continue
going to
attracting
continue,
that type
right?
of person.
Exactly. And I think you brought up a great point. Ignoring it only makes it worse.
That's right.
It only makes it worse, not dealing with it only makes it worse. And I think as I grew up, the saving grace for a lot of Black and BIPOC community is to go to church, because that's the
Yeah.
thing, to go there, and those troubles can be dropped off at Jesus or God's feet,
Right.
and it's covered, it's handled. But
Yeah.
that's not real world, and that's not biblical at
Yeah.
all. We have the ability to fix a lot of things. And I was telling my son the other day, I said, getting on board with any religion is really a catch 20. What is the number? 22, 20
Yeah.
something, whatever. Whatever. It's a catch. You're throwing the cards up because it doesn't give you real world experience, and you leave things to an entity that you're not even familiar with. You have no idea. Like, you have no relationship with this entity.
That's true.
And it's, and I had someone ask me, do I love Jesus? And I said, just about as much as I love Martin Luther King. And they were like,
Yep.
what? I said, no,
I have
I've heard the
this saying that
stories. I don't know.
I like this saying that says, religion is for people who want to avoid hell, and
Oh,
spirituality is
that's
for
great.
people who have been through hell.
That is so good. That is
Isn't
so
it?
good. That is so good. I love that. That is,
It's
oh, I love
true.
that. I wish I could make that a hashtag, that whole thing. Make it a whole
Yes,
hashtag. I love
that's a good
that.
one.
That's a really good one. Say that again so our audience can really get that
Sure.
in.
Yeah, it's religion is for people who want to avoid hell. Spirituality is for people who have been through hell.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love
It
it.
so resonates for me. It just
It,
does.
my whole life, that resonates with me. My whole life. It just
Yes.
sums it all up. Love it. I didn't hear that before, but I love it. I love it. I love it.
Good. Good.
So now we know about your mom and your grandmother. I love that.
Yeah.
What's the best compliment that you ever received?
Oh boy. It just came to mind, one of my clients saying, "You're one of my favorite people." But I also, my husband, I recently asked him, what he loves about me, and he said, You are the most genuine,
I like that.
authentic person I've ever known. And
I
you were
like that.
that way from the beginning.
I love that. I love
Yeah.
that. I often get that too, and it makes me feel good
Yeah.
because, you know,
Doesn't it?
I think, you know, I think I'm a little rough around the edges, you know. And
I think, yeah.
when I speak the truth, like someone asks me a question and they say something truthfully, they look at me like they don't even know how to take it. I remember one time, I never forget this, and this is how I knew that, you know, I was definitely too honest. So I
No,
was in
seriously.
Macy's. I was in Macy's, and I guess a lady was trying on a dress, and she was very fair skinned, and she's trying on this purple. Never will forget the color. It was like a royal purple, and so I guess she thought I was working there, you know. And she's like, "Excuse me." So she had the dress on. She came out of the dressing room, and she looked in the mirror, and then she spun around. And she goes, "How does this look on me?" I said, "Purple is really not your color. You're too fair. You need something
There
like
you
a
go.
blue or a green, but a little down, you know, down color because it's too brilliant on you. Like it's too like it's reflecting and you look pale." And so she's looking at me, and she's like, "Do you work here?" I said, "No," and I
See, Emma, that was kind. You were giving her real advice.
real advice.
And you know,
And it was so
right? I'm told
funny.
because you're being transparent, you're being honest, right? And I think so many people are not able to go there because they're
Yes.
not honest with
There you
themselves.
go. That's it.
And a lot of people
That's
don't
the
have
truth.
much depth, so they stay on the surface.
Yes.
And I don't do small talk. I dive in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know more about people. I want to know, you know, there's this culture where
Absolutely.
they say, instead of, you know, when you meet and you say, what do you do? Which is so boring, really.
Right,
They say,
exactly.
what is your passion?
Right. Oh,
Right?
how do you
That's what
show
I
up in
want to
the world?
know.
How do you show up?
Yeah.
Just tell me. You know, and people are like,
I show
what?
up. You know what? I show up with, I was going to say guns a-blazing, but I don't believe in guns. But I show up loud and bright,
Me too.
okay?
Me too.
I used to think that I was too much. I thought that I was
Me too. Oh my
too
goodness, you are so
big, too
right.
loud, too just too
Yes.
much to handle. But now
Absolutely.
I am too much.
I am.
I am too
I
much
am
love.
enough.
I am too much information. I am too much
Yes.
compassion, all that stuff. But I embrace it now
Yeah.
because I
That's
have a lot
great.
to give.
Yes, right. That's great, Dr. Joe. I really appreciate that. So now, what would you pick for your last meal?
What came to mind is Kraft macaroni and cheese extra. It's just my thing. I don't cook.
Are you
Either
into the
that
new ones, the
or my
little
mom's
containers you
lasagna.
pour the water in and it cooks for you? Are you?
Yes. No,
Oh,
I'm yeah,
okay.
and I use those Instacups, so I don't even
Yes.
make the whole thing.
So Kraft macaroni and cheese. Okay. So we throwing out the name Kraft macaroni and cheese there. All right, we got
Endorsing.
it. That is really great.
I'm curious.
That is really, really great. So our final thoughts, you know, what is your best tip you can share with other women in business who are going to be doing any type of business?
Believe in yourself and follow your intuition.
Yeah.
Other people are going to give you advice, but you know, if you tune in to your third eye center, which is between your eyebrows, and to your
Yes.
gut, your intuition, you already know you have all the answers you need within you. So follow that. Go with your instinct and just believe in yourself because as long as you do, you're going to be successful.
Absolutely. You are going to be successful. And as long as you're authentic, I'm going to add a little piece because we already talked about it.
Yes.
Authenticity, I mean, just really dig deep. Dig deep in yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. Mind
That's
your
right.
business and dig deep into yourself and find where you are, where you are. Because all of, like we just talked about, all people talk, give you what they think you should be doing. Give their ideas, their suggestions, you know, prophecy over you, and it's all wrong. You're the one that creates that. And it takes you being really authentic and original. And you know, and come and
Yes.
showing up, just showing up. Well, Dr. Joe, we've had a great time. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you
being
so
here.
much.
Audience, I'm going to tell you, you gotta follow Dr. Joe. Dr. Joe, how can they follow you on social media?
I don't have the social media, whatever that means, but I can put my email
Okay.
is joe@tulasoul, TulaSoul.com, and I have some links on there that people can follow.
Okay, perfect. And are you, what is anything new coming up? Do you have anything going on in
I do.
groups?
On
Okay.
April 7th, I believe at 1 o'clock to two, I'm having a Find Peace Within Yourself, just an hour workshop where I will be discussing techniques as well as having a short practice with some gentle yoga and meditation, guided meditation.
That
So,
is
and everybody's
terrific.
welcome to that.
Okay.
And that should be, there should be a link on there from Alignable to get information about that. But I'll
That
make
is
sure there's
wonderful.
information on my
I
site.
will definitely post all of that information so that you can follow Dr. Joe, audience. And that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this
Thank you.
episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and a review. To catch up to the latest from me, you can follow me on Facebook, EJW Coaching, what was it? Instagram, I'm sorry, EJW Coaching, and on Twitter, EJW Coaching. Thanks again, audience, and I'll see you next time. Remember to always draw abundance, have happiness, and a whole lot of fun. This is Edna White and my guest, Dr. Joe, saying goodbye for now.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Edna.
I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts are not only beautiful, but useful every single day. And Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations. And their Lennox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. Spice Village transforms everyday spices into inspired memories filled with warmth and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at lennox.com/spicevillage.
For 25 years, Brightview Senior Living Associates have been committed to creating a vibrant culture and delivering exceptional services, making Brightview a great place to work and live. If you're looking for a rewarding opportunity to serve your local community and grow, we want you to join our team. Brightview Senior Living is growing and actively seeking vibrant associates to join our community teams, including directors, healthcare, activities, hospitality, and dining. Apply today at careers.brightviewseniorliving.com.
Equal employment opportunities.
Text BV Jobs to 97 7211 to apply.